And we're going to turn to chapter number 4. And we desire your prayers this morning that the Lord would take His Word and use it to speak to our hearts. I'm thankful that we've got God's Word. And although lots of things change, God's Word does not change. And it's true. And I'm thankful for that. We're going to read today. We're going to read a few verses, but I'm really just going to preach out of one verse. Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to start reading in verse 5 down through verse number 8. This is probably familiar to most everybody. If you are a Bible reader, you've come across this. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 5 says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing." That means to be worried about, to be anxious about. It said, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Let's pray. Lord, we come today and I want to thank you for all your blessings. I want to thank you for the health and the strength to be here today. And we've had a lot of sickness in the church. And a lot of people are able to be back with us today, and we're thankful for that. We pray, Lord, that you'd meet with us today. I pray, Lord, that you would, that the power of your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, that you would give liberty, freedom of thought. Lord, I need your help. I realize I come today asking for that. Lord, that you would do, you would accomplish in our hearts what would be pleasing unto thee. Lord, I'm nothing. I do want to be used of you today, and I pray for that. I pray for your help, and I pray for your will to be done. We'll thank you. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. Let's go back, and the one verse I'm going to preach out of today, they're all tied in together, but for sake of time, I'm just going to deal with one verse, verse number 8. In verse number 8, the Bible says this, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Notice what it says there in the last part of verse number 8. It says, "Think on these things." Have you ever thought about what the Bible says we ought to be thinking about? Ever thought about that? What the Bible says that we ought to be thinking about. The Bible does have a great deal to say about our thoughts. It deals with our mind. It deals with, in many places, what we are thinking about. And so the Bible does have something to say about that. The mind, our minds, are a very powerful thing. Our thoughts are powerful for either good or they can be powerful for evil. They can have a good influence upon us. They can have a bad influence upon us. I was thinking about King Nebuchadnezzar over in Daniel chapter number 4, and he said this in verse 4. He said, "I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me." You know, if we're not careful, just the thoughts that we have can be very troubling unto us, can bother us. A lot of times, especially now, you hear talk about people dealing with depression and being depressed and a dark cloud over me. You know, your thoughts can tend to make you have the right attitude, a good attitude, or your thoughts can be heavy and dark and they can trouble us. Nebuchadnezzar was like that as he thought. His thoughts, the Bible said, they troubled him. We've all heard the saying that you are what you think. Do you know that's what the Bible says? says it in just a little bit of a different way, but the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 7, it says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." What we're thinking in our heart, that's what we are. What we're thinking in our heart, that's what we become. That comes out in our actions, our tongue, our thoughts, our conversation. Have you ever thought about this? Every physical sense that we experience, it passes through our mind first. Passes through our brain. Your sight, your smell, your hearing, your taste, your touch, all of these things, they pass through the mind first. The mind is a very powerful thing. You wouldn't know if you touched a hot stove unless your mind told you. I know you say, well, I burnt my hand, but actually what happens, your nervous system works and you touch a hot stove and your nerves, they run up through your arm and they run into your mind and they say, hey, it's hot. Your mind told you that. You wouldn't know if your lunch was any good unless your mind told you that. Does it smell good? Does it look good? Does it taste good? All of that stuff, it passes through our mind first of all. And if you really think about that, God is amazing in how He made us. The human body and the human mind is just, there's nothing like it in the world. I know there's computers and technology and supercomputers and all of these things. But let me tell you something. Your smartphone is only as smart as you are. So you might be like me. You might have a dumb phone. And it about mess you up more than it helps you sometimes. But your mind is an amazing thing. Your thoughts are very, very powerful. All of our actions that we have pass through our mind first. I thought about over in 2 Samuel chapter number 11, and you read over there, and King David, he saw Bathsheba, and she was bathing out in her, on her housetop, and he saw her, he lusted after her, he sent for her. The Bible said that he lay with her, and we all know what happened with King David and Bathsheba, but do you know what? Everything that he did passed through his mind first. He thought about it. He contemplated it. He acted upon it. But it all had to have the approval of his mind first of all. Every action that we do, it passes through our mind. Everything that you say to somebody that you wish that you wouldn't have said that, well, you gave yourself the green light first. It passed through your mind. And sometimes we have better control over our tongue than at other times. But all of our actions pass through our mind first. All of our emotions pass through our mind first. All of our emotions are the result of our thoughts. I was reading over there about King Solomon in 1 Kings chapter number 3. And you know the Bible talks about the wisdom of Solomon. And the Bible says that there was two women and they came to King Solomon. And I mean, he hadn't been in power very long. And everybody's looking at Solomon to see if he's going to be a good king or not. And there's two ladies, they come before King Solomon. And they both at one time had little babies and one of the babies had died. And so these two ladies come before King Solomon and they both say, this is my baby and she's trying to take my baby. And you know, what are you going to do with that? There's no DNA testing in Solomon's day. And Solomon said, bring me a sword. And take the sword and divide the child and give half to one and half to the other. And one of those ladies was fine with that. And the other lady said, no, 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 don't do that. Don't do that. Give it to her. Give her the baby. And Solomon said, give her the child. That's her child. How did he know that her emotions were different than the other lady? The mother did not want the child to be divided in half. Our mind, all of our emotions that we experience, whether it is love or hate or excitement or depression or whatever the case it is, it all passes through our mind first. I want to try to preach on the subject today of the doctrine of thought. The word doctrine just means what the Bible teaches about it. The doctrine of thought. A.W. Tozer said this, "A doctrine has practical value only as far as it is prominent in our thoughts and makes a difference in our lives." If we believe a doctrine that we never think about and it makes no difference in our lives, then it's not worth anything. Doctrines are only good as far as they are worked out practically in our lives, if they make a difference in our lives. And so what does the Bible say that we ought to think about? What does the Bible say about our thoughts? Even as a Christian, if I never learn to think differently, I'll never act differently. There's people, I believe with all my heart, yes, they're saved by the grace of God, but they never learn to think any differently than they were before they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, they don't act very differently. The Bible says, the Bible tells us what to think about. And if we change how we think, it'll change how we act and how we live our lives. 2 Corinthians, I'm just going to read this for you. Chapter number 10 and verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations." That's what you think about. "And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Every thought that I have should be brought into captivity. I shouldn't just let my thoughts run wild. Everything we're thinking about, we ought to bring into captivity. We ought to catch that thought. We ought to bring it before the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ought to bring it before the Word of God and say, "Is this really what I ought to be thinking about?" Bringing every thought into captivity. Don't let your thoughts just run wild. It'll drive you crazy. But bring them into captivity and submit them, bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8, there are eight things that we find in that verse. And I want to quickly go down through this list. What are we supposed to think about? What does the Bible tell us to think about? Number one, the Bible says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true." We are to be a people that deals in truth and things that are true. The Bible said in John 14, 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Do you know that's a pretty good place to start? What is true? Who is true? Pontius Pilate asked the Lord Jesus Christ the very question. He said, "What is truth?" Well, I'm glad there is such a thing as truth. Sometimes religion and religions are not true. Many times you will hear things about Jesus Christ which are not true. There's a lot of false teaching about Christ. There's a lot of false doctrine about the Bible and the Word of God. But if we will look into the Word of God, we will find out that the Lord Jesus Christ, He is truth. And if you want to find out the truth about Him, don't listen to what religion says, and don't even listen to what I say unless you compare it to what the Bible says. If you'll take the Bible and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find out about a whole lot about the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's truth. That's one that you can investigate and you can look at, and you don't have to worry about, is this right or not? Is this good or not? Not the Lord Jesus Christ is truth incarnate. The Bible says in Romans 3 and 4, "Let God be true and every man a liar." Does that mean that every man is a liar? Every man has the capacity to lie. Not all men lie all the time, but anything God says is true. Let God be true. God's word is true. Psalms 119, verse 160 says, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." Do you want to know what the truth is? Look in God's word. That's where you'll find the truth. If you hear something out here and you're not sure about it, compare it to God's word and find out if it's true or not. We're to be a people that are associated and known for what is true. The opposite of that would be falsehood, lying, hypocrisy. I'm tired of hearing people talk about that people in church are hypocrites. I'll tell you who the biggest hypocrites in the whole wide world are. It's these people out here that are talking about in Brother Stephen already said it this morning. He said, "I don't want to be political, but I'm sort of bothered by what's going on in our country. And I can't wrap my mind around all this marching around, and I've been reading about the protests and things that took place yesterday, and the best I can tell, the main thing they were talking about is human rights and women's rights." Now, I'm all for human rights, and I'm 100% for women's rights. But if you don't give rights to the weakest among us, and that's a little baby in the womb, that beating heart, and we read in Jeremiah chapter number 1 this morning that God told Jeremiah, He said, "Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. I ordained thee a prophet to the nations." Before Jeremiah was conceived, God knew that that would be Jeremiah and he would be a prophet. Jeremiah was a person in the womb. And if we do not protect the weakest among us in the womb, that is the height of hypocrisy. So I'll tell you, half the babies that are aborted are women, at least. That's hypocrisy. That's not true. That's not true. That's not being up front with everybody to march and talk about all those things but not care about a little baby in a womb. We ought to be concerned with what is true. I like truth, don't you? I mean, sometimes the truth hurts, but it's still the truth. Whatsoever things are true. Number two, whatsoever things are honest. Now, that word honest there, it's not just telling the truth. But it has to do with being venerable, which means worthy of reverence, something that is deserving of honor. Sometimes we will hear somebody talk about the venerable judge or the venerable senator from North Carolina or whatever it might be. Now, somebody like that, they might be worthy of reverence and they might not be. They might be honorable and they might not be. But that word honest there, that is in opposition to such things as levity and frothiness and foppery. Yeah, I got this out of the old dictionary. We don't use that anymore. A dictionary is pretty interesting. You'll learn some things. You know what foppery is? Foppery is showy folly. Just put Hollywood in there. That's what that reminds me of. Things that are worthy of reverence. You know, if Hollywood was not able to toot its own horn, it'd probably go out of business. Have you ever noticed all these award shows that they have for all these movies that nobody's ever went and watched? They've already decided before it comes out that it's going to be the biggest hit of the year. Who decided that? I've always wondered that. Well, they did. They tell us if we're gullible, if we're sheep and we don't think for ourselves, they tell us what is important and who is important and why we ought to be concerned that Taylor Swift broke up with her boyfriend and she wrote a song about it. Or whoever. You know, normal people, they don't care about that. That's not important to my life. There's nothing that deserves reverence and honor out of a lot of things that we are told that is important. Kim watches about every morning. She'll turn on the news about 8 o'clock in one of these morning shows. I don't know which one. And she hates for me to be around when the news is on and when the TV is on. And they'll come on, and after a few minutes, they'll say, okay, pop news for the day. And there's always people outside the windows, and they're all got signs. And I really don't believe that all those people standing outside really care about whoever it is in there. They're not there because they really, some people do, but they don't care what they're talking about. They're just there. They want to be on TV, and they want like 2 seconds of fame. There's nothing venerable about that. There's nothing that deserves reverence or recognition about so many things that go on in this world. It's just showy folly is all that it is. The Bible says we're to think about things that are honest. Is what the Bible says. Things that are deserving of reverence. Things that are deserving of honor. Most people are concerned about who broke up with who or what somebody wore to some ball or some function. But nobody cares very much that 5 soldiers were killed in Afghanistan or that a police officer was shot down for no reason whatsoever in the street. See, our minds are totally warped about what they really ought to be, what is really important in this life. What really deserves honor and reverence, that's the kind of people that's what we ought to be thinking about. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, the Bible says. The word just in the Bible here, it has the idea of duty. Things we ought to do. It has the idea of just, and it has the idea of righteousness. What is right to do in the sight of God, what is right to do in relationship to my fellow man, what is right to do, what is just to do in relationship to my country. That's what that word just has to do with. Giving to God what belongs to Him, giving to man what is due to him. The opposite of that is injustice and violence and oppression. It has to do with doing what's just, doing what's right. Doing what's right is sometimes really, really hard to do. But God's people ought to be occupied with doing what is just. Not just for one group, but for all groups. That's everybody. That's everybody. What is right in the sight of God? What is due to our fellow man? There's 8 things here. I've got to move on. The Bible says whatsoever things are just. The Bible says whatsoever things are pure. Now, the Bible has a great deal to say about purity. For example, Titus chapter 1, verse 15 says, unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. You know, there's some people that can take anything and make something dirty out of it. And you may say something and you don't mean a thing by it. Somebody else comes along and you said a phrase, you said a word, and they made something dirty out of it. That's what that's talking about. Keep yourself under the pure, all things are pure. Under those that are filthy and undefiled, nothing is pure. Nothing is off limits. I mean, they'll throw off on the Bible, God, Jesus Christ, your personal testimony, everything. Everything's dirty. Everything is defiled. Satan is a master defiler, and he defiles everything in the world. Nothing is off limits to Satan. But we're to be concerned with what is pure. 1 Timothy 5:22, Paul told Timothy, he said, keep thyself pure. That means morally pure. It means undefiled, not contaminated. Let me tell you something this morning. You are now or you soon shall be what you're thinking about. I've said that before and said who your friends now are, but what you are thinking about is what you are. Or you will be soon what you're thinking about right now. Some people, and I hope you're not one of these, but they think they'll go to somebody and they'll pay them some money and they'll look into a crystal ball and they'll tell them what their future is. I can tell you what your future is. Look into your bowling ball. What you're thinking about, that is exactly the road you're on. That is where you are headed. That is what you are going to be, whether that's for the good or the bad or the ugly. What we're thinking about is what we're going to become. It's what we are in our hearts. And the Word of God, it warns us over and over to guard our thoughts, to keep ourselves pure. That is in opposition to filthiness and foolish talking and obscene words and actions. You talk about something that is venerable and deserves reverence. You know whose birthday it was last week? It was Robert E. Lee's birthday. You thought I was talking about Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King, I believe he was a good man. I believe a lot of what they do in his name. I mean, he was a Baptist preacher. As far as I know, he believed God's word was God's word. There's a lot that's going on in his name that I believe he wouldn't go along with. I really do. I'll tell you, it's Robert E. Lee's birthday too. And there's a lot went on even in his day he wouldn't put up with. He wouldn't allow his men to curse. George Washington wouldn't allow his soldiers to curse and gamble. George Washington said that was not worthy of a Christian army. And if we expect God's blessing on our endeavors, he'd tell them officers, we're not going to talk like that. I'm not going to allow that in my army. What if they'd done that today? We'd have a silent army. And I'm telling you, I was in the Air Force, and they're bad enough, but the army they're awful. I never heard two women talk so bad in my life till I was 17 years old and went to get sworn in. And there's two women, and they were enlisting in the army, and they went through the chow hall, and man, I never heard talking like that out of guys. That's the opposite of being pure. There's nothing reverential. There's nothing that deserves respect in that. The way we talk is just a habit. It's either a good habit or it's a bad habit. It's a developed habit. I know people can turn it on and people can turn it off. But the Bible says if our thoughts are right, we're going to think on what is pure. It says, number five, whatsoever things are lovely. Now, I love this. Whatsoever things are lovely. Lovely in the Bible is talking about here. It's talking about that which serves to cultivate and increase love and friendship and goodwill among men. To be lovely is this. It is to be winsome. It is to be pleasing. It is to be amiable. To be lovely is somebody that you're around them and you just love to be around them because they're a good person. You ever been around those people? They don't have anything bad to say about anybody. They've always got a smile upon their face. They're lovely. You know, a lot of what's going on in our country now is not lovely. If 8 years ago, let me just give you something to think about. When Mr. Obama was put into office as president, if Toby Keith, country singer, I'm using him because he sang it, one of the inauguration things or something that was going on. I just read about it. But if the day after Mr. Obama had gotten into office, if Toby Keith would have got up and said, I'm angry about this election and I've thought a lot of times about blowing up the White House, but I knew it wouldn't do anything, and he'd have mixed in a whole lot of four-letter words and anger in that. Do you know what? He'd have been in prison in about 10 minutes. By the time it took to get up on stage and haul him off. But do you know Madonna done that yesterday up in Washington, D.C.? She got up there and what I would call inciting a riot. She said that very word. She said, I'm angry about the election and I've thought about blowing up the White House. And you know what? They won't do a thing about that. But all this stuff that's going on, if we just sit back and look at it and we ask ourselves a question, is this really doing anybody any good? Is this cultivating friendship and harmony and all of these things? Is this a revolution of love? If that's love, that's a funny way to show it. There's nothing amiable, there's nothing winsome, there's nothing lovely about anything that causes contention and strife and hatred among people. It's not doing any good. Even though maybe on some points, and I don't know all the issues and everything, but I don't see a whole lot of lovely in it. I saw somebody, they'd posted something, and it was a person out here, and they were on the sidewalk, and they had put a big heart. They'd drawn a big heart on the sidewalk. Well, when you see a heart, what do you think of? You think of love. And they had put the word fight in the middle of it. And they had put Trump underneath that. Is there anything lovely about that? Is that not a mixed message? I don't see the love. I don't see that. There's a lot of things. There's nothing lovely about that. There's nothing winsome about that. The Bible says we're to think about things that are lovely. Things that gender goodwill towards one another. I know this country's about divided down the middle, but I think surely there'd be some things we could come together on and agree on. But you don't see a whole lot of talk about that. Whatsoever things are lovely. Look what else it says, number 6. It says, whatsoever things are of good report. Good report. That means fair speaking. Now, what am I allowing to come into my mind and in my heart? Is it of good report? Now, I used to get the newspaper. I canceled that. You know why I quit getting the newspaper? It just grieved the life out of me. Because it was not of good report. I used to watch, I'll be honest with you, I used to watch Fox News. I can't hardly stand that. I don't watch it. There's not a lot of good report, and it gets worse from there. If I'm watching something just to keep up and be an informed citizen, and it's just souring my spiritual life and just killing my attitude and robbing me of having a good outlook and a smile upon my face, is it really good for me? I promise you, the world will not end if you don't know what happened this morning. You can get all the news that you can stand in about 5 minutes, 2 or 3 days a week. If anything really happens that you need to know about, I promise you will know about it. But most of that is not of good report. It's just sour. It's like milk. You get out and you think it's going to be all right, but it's gone bad and you just got to throw it away. Isn't that like watching the news? Are you bringing things into your mind, in your heart, that are of good report? Now, Facebook. I'll just get everything this morning. I have a Facebook thing. And about 3 or 4 minutes, about once every 7 days, that's all I can stand. I can't stand that. I mean, I have some friends and that I was in the Air Force with and things like that, and I like to be able to keep up with them, but really it's not necessary to my happiness. But now, the great majority, that sitting around and, you know, going through that whole rigmarole of junk, is it of good report? Is it fair speaking? To me, what it is, Facebook is like this. I mean, you say, oh, preacher, there's some good things on there. Yeah, I know there is. There's some bad things too. But here's what Facebook is like. If we all stood up at the same time and we all screamed something different at the top of our lungs, well, if you said something good, it would get drowned out by everything else. And so if there is good, and I'm sure there is, it gets canceled out by all the junk. You might read something that's good. It's like swimming through a sewer to get a Twinkie. You wouldn't do it. I mean, it's just not worth it. It's not worth it. You get all that other stuff on you just to get something you wanted on the other side. It's not worth it. Good report. The Bible said to think about good things. If there be a good report. What do you talk about on Monday morning around the water cooler? What is your conversation about? Good report. We ought to be concerned with good things. Number 7, look what the Bible says. If there be any virtue. Now, I like this. There is such a thing as virtue. The word virtue, it means this, excellence. We should be concerned with things that are thoughts that represent excellence. That means that we ought to appreciate excellence and virtue that is out there. There are good things. There are good people. There are good causes. But there's so much bad, it gets virtue. Virtue means this, like a farmer would appreciate a good piece of land. You know, not rocky, not the side of a, you know, he said, I can't do anything like that. But a farmer looks out and he sees a good field out there, good rich soil. And he says, boy, I can take this and I can really do something with it. This is worth something. This is excellent. That's what virtue is. Like a craftsman would appreciate a piece of good furniture. I told Kim years ago, I said, quit buying that stuff that you got to put together for 6 hours, and it's all made out of pegboard, and if it gets wet, it swells up 3 times as it was, and I'm not going to move that junk. It's not fit to bring home. I used to build cabinets. I know a little bit about what a good piece of furniture ought to be. You want to know what a good piece of furniture is? Come up here and pick this up. This is excellence. It's all we can do for 4 of us to move it for a play. And that's not really a pulpit. It's a life-size human shield. But it's made good. It's made good. I appreciate things that are made good. I was watching one of these home shows where they sell stuff one time. And it's been years ago. And they were selling frost knives. Some of you men probably had some experience. I hate a cheap pocket knife. But they look so good on TV. And they convinced me in my mind I needed to order. And you know, whatever you pay, Dad remembers we had knives in drawers for years and all. Couldn't give them things away. They sent you a whole box of all these knives. They wasn't worth putting in the bottom of your glove compartment. Cheap junk. Nothing virtuous, nothing excellent in it, but I know some of you men, you appreciate a good, well-made pocket knife. There's virtue in that. There's excellence in that. A firearm, you know, anything that is crafted, that is made, that you can look at and be proud of, that's what virtue means, and there's plenty of virtuous things out here. Christ, by the way, Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ meets the requirement of all 8 of these. He is every one of these things. Virtue, that which is good, that which is excellent. The Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman? And they're marching and talking about women and all these things. I was thinking about this week. Kim's mother just passed away. I have been surrounded my whole life by good, strong, moral, independent women. Kim's mom, you talk about a good woman. I mean, hard working. My mom, tough lady, tough love. If you look up her picture in the dictionary, it says tough love. She's tough and she's loving. Providers. Fighters for their family. Kim, my wife, she's strong, virtuous. You don't have to be mean to be a strong, independent woman. Be a godly woman. That's virtuous. That's excellence in that. There's a lot of them women, they might look pretty, but I'll tell you, I don't know if I'd enjoy being around them long. They mean. Who wants to be around a mean man? Who wants to be around a mean woman? With an attitude as big as Texas. You want that to be your mama? The mother of your children? Is there any virtue in that? If there be any virtue, there's some good books. There's some good movies. There's not many. You ever seen that Facing the Giants movie? Man, I bawl like a baby every time I watch it. I love that. That just thrills my heart. There's a couple of good ones out there. Chloe and I, we're reading a series of books. It's the number one bestseller in the early 1800s. About a little girl named Elsie. And we've bawled, cried, felt sorry for Elsie and all her problems and trials. We've learned. I mean, it's built up my faith. It's just a book. It's a good book. There's good. There's good things. If there be any virtue, it doesn't mean that you have to walk around with a Bible all the time. That's impossible to do that. But there are virtuous things. There's good things. If there be any virtue in it, it's all right. You'll learn something. You'll get something out of it. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, last of all, praise. Well, I'm doing good. It's not even 12 o'clock. Praise means praiseworthy. Is there anything that you can think about that you can praise about? Psalms 37:23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." I'll give you something you can praise the Lord about. Just look back on how God's guided you. And you'll delight in his way. Not the way you went that you wanted to, but the way God directed your paths. Steps of good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And I just think back of all the blessings that God has given me in my life. Well, I can praise him for that. I can praise him for his watch care. I can praise him for his providence. I can praise him for his taking care of our needs and meeting our needs. And God is so good. I praise God that I was born in America. I don't fault anybody for wanting to come to America. I would want to come too. Just come the right way. You know, don't come to kill us or, you know, come to join. And like the immigrants of many days gone by, they came, they wanted to better themselves, better their family. They wanted to come. They love this country. I've got some friends from other countries. They love America more than Americans love America. Because they've got something to compare it to. I praise the Lord for our rich history and heritage and all of these things. If there be any praise, and then in closing, look what the Bible says. It says, think on these things. The Bible does tell us what to think about. This is, in its proper context, it's talking about the peace of God that passes all understanding. It's talking about not worrying about anything in verse number 6. And so a lot of that has to do with what we think about. But when it says think on these things, it means this. It means meditate on these things. Roll these things over in your mind with the intention of putting them into practice. If we don't think different, we'll never be any different. Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world." So many people are just exactly, they say, "Oh, be your own person be your own person and be your own self." But they're all wearing the same thing and they're all following the same people and they're all engrossed in the same stuff. They're anything but individuals. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world. Don't be pressed into the mold of the world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so the Bible teaches that in order to be a different person, we have to have a renewed mind. We need a renewing of our mind. Some of you might remember when you was growing up, I remember there used to be a furniture polish and it was called Renew. Remember that? And they'd always have the commercials and there'd be a piece of furniture and it looked like they had a house full of youngins and every one of them had played on that table. And they scratched it all to pieces and it hadn't been dusted or cleaned and forever. And they'd take some of that Renew, wipe it off, half of it. Then they'd take a picture and they'd say, look what a difference. Renew. You need to get some of this, you moms, you dads. Renew means to make new again. And I found an old ad for Renew furniture polish. And you know what it said that Renew did? It said, it cleans and it polishes and it protects. And you know what a lot of us need? We need the Holy Ghost of God to take His Word and like the anointing oil that was poured on Aaron's head and flowed down upon his beard, we need the Spirit of God to renew us and to cleanse and to polish and to protect. Because there's so much out there. It gets you scratched up and dirty and filthy and you got to get the old off. We need to get some new on. It's still a new year. I'm going to preach a New Year's message one of these Sundays. About April. That's when I'll get caught up. I preached on Christmas all the way up into January. I'm not in a hurry. I mean, it's all the Lord's Word. Well, we need to get some. Do you hear and see what's going on in this world? And it's just like a black, dark cloud pushing down on you. You see what's going on out here, and it's like, it's awful. Finally, brethren, we need a renewing of our minds, our hearts. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm going to ask Brother Dale to get us a song of invitation ready and the ladies to come to the piano this morning. Maybe you're here, maybe you